Hello, everybody. We're back. And Martin, what have you got there? What's going
on? No, I'm just reading. This is a sachet of spaghetti carbonara that I've been making today.
Can we just... Sorry, one second. A sachet of carbonara. What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean?
A creamy recipe mix with aromatic parsley, oregano and black pepper for a simple and tasty classic Italian dish full of flavour. Here's the problem. Of the four ingredients listed, I only have one, which is spaghetti. Oh, and the milk. It asks for 200 grams of bacon. I've substituted...
We're going to have to stop this. We're going to have to stop again because you've just said milk for carbonara as well.
Yeah,
what's milk got to do with
it? So what you do, you get...
It's that famous song.
What's milk got... You get this you get this packet, which is like dried powder, and then you put it in the saucepan and you add milk to it and you stir it around, and it's meant to make this really thick and creamy sauce. It didn't.
Well, no,
it was just sort of a... It's like a weird milky catsick, really, is what it was. And it also tells you to add 200 grams of bacon. Yeah. Don't have that.
You don't have that.
175 grams of mushrooms. Don't have that. So all I have was some tinned tuna. So I guess I've got like a fishy Nara. Rather than a carbonara.
And I love that the fact that even if you would have added the bacon and mushroom, it wouldn't have been a carbonara, because a carbonara is egg and cheese. It's not milk or weird bits of powder in it.
Yeah, anyway. maybe you won't try that again.
Thanks for that, Martin. I just had some instant noodle ramen. It was very nice.
Good. Now we know what we've had for tea.
Yes.
Welcome to this edition of Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Coming up, we are going to be obviously talking about the huge news that the UK might be hosting Eurovision. We are going to be talking about that. I do want to just go, I just still am confused with the carbonara. Why are you getting these packet sauces?
I still want to go on
this.
It's just
this
is
easy.
A really common
like, you just
thing.
Mix egg into cheese, grated cheese.
I
that's
don't
all you
know
need
about
to do.
All of that sort of stuff.
Have you been going through your whole life thinking that's what carbonara is?
I've been going through my whole life thinking that's how I would make a carbonara.
Right. Okay. Good. Right. I was just baffled. Okay. When you started mentioning milk, I mean, you can put cream in it, but anyway. Okay. Well, as long as did it taste nice?
No, not really. Okay, it was pretty bland and pretty tasteless. Anyway, Cress has been getting up to some excitement recently. What have you been doing, Cress?
I have. Take a listen to this.
Okay, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's not Brotherhood of Man. It is Dardi Freya singing Save Your Kisses for Me by Brotherhood of Man, the winning Eurovision song for the UK, singing it in London on the last day of his tour. I went to see him. Thank you very much to Jem, who came along with me, who gave me the ticket. We had a great time watching Dardi Freya. It's the second time, obviously, I've seen him. First time I saw him with you, Martin. And I was interested to know, was it going to be different or was he just going to do the same set? And it was different. There was different stuff he did.
Like that. And we know that Dardi Freya, from our interview with him, and if you missed that, by the way, scroll back in our feed because you will find our interview that we did in person with Dardi Freya backstage.
Yep.
At his first tour when we went to see him in London. And it's a great listen. But we do know from that interview, he is a massive Eurovision fan. He loves all the history of it. He loves the songs. So it's hardly surprising that he chose a UK winner to perform in London.
Yeah, and that was part of his encore, actually, because obviously he did the Think About Things as his sort of ending, as the first part of the performance. And I was expecting that. There were some other things he did that he kept the same. He did the Birdie song again, which we all loved, which I knew it was coming this time, so I was like, oh, here we go, everyone's gonna love this. He actually did demo a new song that he's got in the works, which he's provisionally titled I'm Fine. And it's got a lot about him saying about how he's all right and stuff. So there you go. It's good. Glad to know you are, Dorothy.
Good and that to was know, Dorothy, yeah.
Quite typical sort of upbeat Dorothy number, I would say. It was quite good fun. He also did a cover of Smash Mouth All Star.
Oh, great song. Which, I reckon he'd do that really well.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all. I think it was good. I mean, I will say, although he did still play some Icelandic songs sung in Icelandic, there did seem to be more of an effort to make it, I would say, mostly English. And so maybe that's why he threw in a couple more covers and things like that. Because I think we noticed, just because we mainly know him from Eurovision songs, and obviously big fan of him because of that, there were some songs that, you know, his Icelandic things that we didn't know as much, and I wondered if he was sort of working towards doing more of that. But he did still have some Icelandic numbers in there. Someone at some point did shout out "Play Ya Ya Ding Dong," which he didn't like.
No, he didn't basically like it.
No, he didn't like that at all. He said, "I really fucking hate it when people say that to me."
Oh my god!
In a sort of jokey manner, but I feel like he did mean it. And then he said, "This next song's for you," and he sang a song called "Shut Up," which was actually great. Pretty funny. And he did, as usual, quite sort of deadpan, rambling hosting. So that was pretty similar. He still had the, obviously he didn't have Gagne Magnef because they're just part of Eurovision, but he did have his like backing group there. And they also like sang some of the vocals for some of it as well. It was a really good night. I was, because I'll be honest, when I was going, I was thinking, I've only seen him recently. Is this going to be much different? What's it, you know, is this just going to feel like the same thing? Which was great, obviously great to have seen it the first time. But you know, once you've seen it once, it was like, what's this going to be like? But actually there was enough new stuff there. And he's just, the thing is with Dorothy is he could just do anything on that stage and people go crazy for him. People were going mad. And it's kind of mad to see this really tall, kind of gangly guy. Normally, you know, you see people
really
screaming.
Tall as well.
He's 6'10". He's 6'10". Normally, you know, you see these sort of people screaming for, you know, these sort of boy bands and that kind of thing. And obviously, you know, Dorothy, you know, you're good looking, but it's quite unusual to see someone a little bit nerdy, a little bit gawky, and have people be like, ah, like screaming for him. And literally all he was doing, like he had a face towel and he like wiped some sweat off him and people were like, ah!
throw your sweaty towel at me.
A drumstick into the crowd and people went crazy for it. So there you go. That's the kind of like weird sort of, well, not weird, but just an unusual kind of fan aspect that Eurovision can bring out. But yeah, as I was saying, I was thinking, oh, I'm not sure, is this just going to be more the same? It wasn't more the same. And I think he's just got such a great energy that it's just really fun to watch. It's just really fun to be part of. And you know, the fans again were really good fun and everyone was having a good time.
Okay, big news that we need to talk about. And this sort of dropped a few days ago. And Laura and I went through a brief moment of going completely and utterly crazy bonkers, didn't we?
We did. And I'll be honest, I'm still kind of there, Martin. This, of course, is the news that, and we have to sort of note this. It is not definite. This is not a definite thing yet, but it's looking likely that the UK is going to be hosting Eurovision 2023. What we can say, at least what's been issued at the moment, we could say the EBU statement, that the EBU said they were exploring options for obviously this year's winner, Ukraine, to host with the public broadcaster UAPBC. They've said that's what they were hoping to do. They were looking into that. Obviously, because of the war that's ongoing in there, it was always going to be questionable. The EBU said they conducted this full assessment, they conducted this feasibility study. They've said in this statement, which came out on Friday, it's with deep regret that given the current circumstances, the security and operational guarantees required for a broadcaster to host, organise and produce the song contest under the ESC rules cannot be fulfilled by the Ukraine broadcaster. So they basically said, We've tried to make it work. We can't make it work in Ukraine next year. Now, the interesting bit that got us and a lot more people excited as well, saying in accordance with the rules and to ensure the continuity of the event, the EBU will now begin discussions with the BBC, which is the UK broadcaster, as this year's runner-up, because the UK came second with Sam Ryder this year, to potentially host the 2023 Eurovision Song Contest in the UK. Now, as I said, that hasn't been confirmed. We don't know how far along they are with those talks, but it's looking more likely, Martin.
It is looking more likely. Already, UK cities have been putting their names forward. Manchester, Leeds, yep. Glasgow, yes. among some of the names already saying, yeah, we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do that. Yep. That sounds good. There's a lot of momentum building around this. I kind of feel like the EBU wouldn't just go and put a statement out like that without having kind of agreed it with the BBC beforehand. I don't think that's the way that they would operate. I'm pretty sure they'd have conversations. The BBC would go, yeah, we'll do it. And then the EBU would say, we are having conversations with the BBC. I feel like that's the kind of way it's more likely to work, rather than them just going, yeah, we're having conversation with the BBC. And then the BBC going, well, it's a no from us.
What?
Yeah. So that makes it quite positive about that. Not everyone's happy about this, though, I have to say. And I just want to read you something from the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who was asked, he's just been on a visit to Kyiv, meeting with President Zelensky, and said that Ukraine deserves to host the Eurovision. It should be given the chance, says the Prime Minister. And he was talking a lot about how Ukraine are the right, you know, they won it fair and square, despite Sam Ryder doing a really good job. It's a year away. Everything will be fine by then, is kind of what he was trying to say. I do wonder that is perhaps a little wishful thinking, that things are going to be fine in a year's time. But you know, this is the mood that the Prime Minister is in. And I do wonder that is a view...
Of the UK.
Yes, the Prime Minister of the UK. And that is a view maybe reflected in parts of Ukraine as well. They want to host this.
Yeah, I mean, it is the mood reflected in parts of Ukraine, because Ukraine's Minister of Culture has actually demanded that the EBU reverse its decision. There's a statement signed by him, Oleksandr. There's also a statement by the Eurovision winners, Ruslana and Ola from Kalash Orchestra, who's the frontman of Kalash Orchestra that won this year, and also the director of the state TV channel as well. They basically call for further talks about hosting Eurovision 2023 in Ukraine. They basically said they're very disappointed and they in the EBU's decision. They want them to reverse that decision. On Boris Johnson, I think he's just doing that because he wants to look good in Ukraine, and he wants to, you know, uphold those political kind of relationships. He's got a very good relationship with President Zelensky, Ukraine's president. I think he would obviously not want to say, yeah, you know, the Ukraine shouldn't host it. I think if the UK were then would definitely had it, I think that he would change his tune. But at the moment, it's not being confirmed. So I don't think that means anything. I think that's just him being political, basically.
Yeah, and we should also point out as well that Boris Johnson would have nothing to do with
whether or not
the UK would host or not. And in the same way that, you know, President Zelensky would have very little impact on whether or not Ukraine was hosting or not. I imagine in the current climate, he would be able to veto it should it be happening, but I don't think he can insist that it happens. There's a lot of kind of political posturing that's going on around this. A lot of voices in Ukraine who are quite annoyed about the fact that it's not going to be there. But from the EBU's point of view, surely they are, they've been forced to make this decision, right? I mean, they will say safety, their top priority. They got to know that people, and they need certainty now of where it's going to be. They can't go, well, we'll leave it to the week before and see what's, you know, see if we have a couple of shells popping in.
Yeah.
They need certainty now of where it's going to be, because the planning of these big, big, big contests and these huge television events takes the entire year. So they need to know where they're going to be. They need to book the venue.
They do. Although that took quite a long time with RAI in Italy, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe if the Ukrainians went on the Italian model, they'd be a bit better. I think basically this was kind of expected. I could completely understand why Ukraine and politicians associated with Ukraine. I don't think the broadcaster has protested as much as politicians, to be fair, and previous Eurovision winners. I just feel like, yeah, I have to say it's quite unprecedented. I can't think of a time where, you know, a country has won and then the EBU has said they cannot host it and then they have protested against that hosting. I don't think that is against not being able to host it. I can't think of a time when that's happened. So it is very unusual. I honestly, I would love it to be in the UK, obviously. I'm sure they would do a good job of it if it was in the UK. I think as long as there was a lot of involvement from Ukraine, and I think the BBC would make sure that happened.
I would hope so.
To make sure it still felt Ukrainian.
Exactly. You would want it to be presented by Ukrainian presenters. You would want it to have a real Ukrainian feel to it. It just happened to be staged in London. Yeah. And sure, there could be a nod to the actual host country, but really, this is Ukraine's gig, and it needs to, I would say, and I'm sure that that is what they're going to be talking about a lot now. How can they make something that is thousands of miles away from Ukraine feel Ukrainian? I think it's going to be really, really interesting. As you say, very exciting if it were to come to the UK, although I'd be slightly annoyed that I don't get to have a foreign holiday in May, but and instead it's going to be a holiday to
Sorry, for goodness sakes, I mean, you just have to deal with that. If we have the Eurovision coming to us,
I'm sorry, Chris,
and you're whining that you can't go on a foreign holiday.
Yeah, that's what's going on. Okay, big question then. If it does get hosted in the UK, and it's looking quite likely, where's it going to be? I mentioned before Manchester, Leeds, Glasgow,
Leeds.
I think. I don't think it's going to be
Cardiff.
Leeds either. Cardiff. See, when we were out in Turin, we were talking quite a lot with the Eurovision fans, UK Eurovision fans, the real kind of mega fans, and they were saying almost without, like, almost as if it was obvious that it would be Manchester, which to me feels like the safe bet.
Yes. I mean, I would say it's probably between Glasgow, Manchester and Cardiff. I think the BBC has a huge base in Manchester. So that kind of helps in that they've already, you know, there's a big contingency of the BBC already in Manchester. One thing I will say is I'm very surprised that I can understand if people say they'd like it to be in London because they live there, or, you know, because they're from there. Anyone who thinks it's going to be in London, what?
Not
going to
be in London.
What are you on?
I'd be so surprised if it was in London.
Absolutely no way, because people keep saying, oh, well, everything's in London. But that's the reason why it wouldn't be in London, because the BBC aren't going to be holding some huge event and making it London Central again, because they'll just get criticised for it. This is a really obvious thing that they could do to make it not
Their
London Central.
The whole thing at the moment is getting people out of London, moving departments out of London to other parts of the UK. And Manchester's a massive base, as is. They're doing loads in Cardiff and in Glasgow as well. There's just... I don't want to say there's no way. Yeah, I'd say 0.0001% chance.
I will say this. I'm going to say this.
Okay.
Do you remember when we had that discussion about when tap management first came on and Dua Lipa was one of the artists with tap, and some people were saying, oh, maybe that means Dua Lipa's going to represent the UK. And I said, if Dua Lipa represents the UK in 2022, I will walk naked down the streets of London. And I'm saying it again. If London becomes the host city for Eurovision 2023, I will walk naked down the streets of London. That's how sure I am that that will not happen.
Okay, but I think it's also partly that you do want to walk naked down the streets of London.
It's a win-win.
Well, maybe for you. I'm not sure about anybody else.
Anyway, we'll quickly go through. I mean, where would you like it to be, Martin? I'd love it to be in Manchester. I am from Manchester. A friend texted me and said, this is what your life and career has been leading up to, because I'm from Manchester and I've been doing a Eurovision podcast. And I thought, I suppose, is that all my life's been leading up to? But no, I would like it to be in Manchester. What about you?
I would like it to be in Manchester. Manchester is it's a city that is really on the up, right? It is fast becoming the UK's...
I'm just going to stop you there, Martin. Oh, I think it's been up for a long time. It's not on the up.
No,
I think you're fine.
It's on the up ever more so, right? Loads of more places are going, are moving there. It is a city. All you have to do is walk around Manchester city centre, and you can just feel that this is a city that's going from one of a handful in the UK to being the second down from London, and a real place to go to, and the centre of life in the north. And I think that Manchester would be a great, great place to host the Eurovision Song Contest. Where else? I mean, Birmingham has done it before. I'm from Birmingham.
It's interesting how Birmingham, not really many people mention Birmingham.
Completely overlooked. Yeah, yeah. Well, the Commonwealth Games are in Birmingham this year. I should say, just you know, so it has got a big event. I don't think it would be Birmingham.
No.
Also because Birmingham has hosted the Eurovision Song Contest before, so it's not going to be Birmingham.
And it's worth saying, Manchester does have a huge indoor arena. It's got and that's what they need. They need a sort of roofed arena, or one with that, you know, can be covered. And it's got that in the I think it's called the AO Arena now, but it used to be called the MEN. That's got about 21,000 capacity. Which is huge.
Yeah. So, really, these are the sort of the sizes of cities that are needed. Leeds doesn't have the infrastructure. No. I don't think Leeds is big enough to host an event like the Eurovision Song Contest. Manchester could do it. Glasgow could do it. I just wonder whether Glasgow is at the present time slightly a politically sensitive hot potato because of there's a lot of calls for independence.
Scottish independence
in Scotland at the moment, and you wonder whether the EBU and the BBC might want to go, oh, okay, maybe we shouldn't do it there in case we kind of antagonise one side or the other, and
it might get accidentally brought into that. Yeah, into the hosting of it, yes.
Not so much of a call for that in Wales. So Cardiff, I think, could definitely be on the map. I part of me wants it to be Cardiff in that it would be lovely for it to be a city that isn't England, in England.
Yeah, definitely. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That would be really good. Same with Belfast, really. Yeah, I think, but Belfast would be great as well. Again, a little politically sensitive in Belfast, so perhaps not an idea that they would go for. But Cardiff, certainly, for a non-English city would be a really safe bet. It could handle it. It's not the biggest city, to be fair, Cardiff. It's a capital city. It's the capital city of Wales, but it isn't huge as cities go, but I think it could probably handle it. I just think that Manchester seems the most sensible, though. It seems the most sensible choice.
It?
It's got everything there. And when you're welcoming people from all over the world, you need somewhere with good airport links. Cardiff hasn't really got that. You know, it's well-placed, great airport links. It's got the arena. The city already, the city already wants to do it. I think the people of Manchester would be behind it.
Oh, totally.
It just makes sense in my mind for it to be Manchester.
Come on, yes! Come on, Manchester! We've, of course, been talking about this with you on our many social media accounts. I was asking on Twitter, at Parnell, on our Twitter account there, where you thought it would be. Thank you to Jessica, who got in touch, who said, would be absolutely buzzing to see it in Manchester or Salford. Maybe the Kersal Massive are free to sing their iconic tune, Got on the Bus with Me Day Saver. Yes, that would be interesting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you to Jill as well, who said, my first thought was Manchester. The BBC are heavily invested in the city, as we've been saying, and it's nice and central with great infrastructure. But Glasgow was heavily rumoured to be the place, and it's true. A lot of people have been saying it could be Glasgow. Alex also got in touch, said it's probably going to be Manchester or Salford. Tron said Glasgow, and then said hashtag play Yaya Ding Dong. I think it's most people have been saying it's going to be between Glasgow and Manchester on the Twitter. Thank you again for everyone getting in touch. We still want to hear your opinions on Twitter as well. We're on Instagram. We are Nolpoir Podcast on Instagram. And Jem, actually, who I went to see Darthy with, said he'd like to see it at the Barbican in York. I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm not sure that's going to happen.
I don't think
Jem, I'm afraid for that. Not quite the capacity.
I don't think it's going to happen there, Jem, but that's wishful thinking, maybe. But do get tired of, do you think Ukraine should host the contest? Should they be given the chance? What do you think about the UK hosting it, and where would you like it to be if it was in the UK? You can get in contact, as I said, Twitter, Instagram. We're also on email, norpoirpodcast@gmail.com. We are probably, I'll be honest, I wasn't sure how often we were going to be back when this news hadn't dropped, because we weren't sure how much there was going to be to talk about, especially in June. It kind of dies down for a little bit. But I'll be honest, if this keeps going on, I feel like we won't be on another break.
No, I think there's loads to talk about. This is very exciting. Very exciting news.
It's incredibly exciting for us, yeah, if it was in the UK. But obviously, completely understand for the Ukraine why it must be a bit gutting to hear this. But equally, it's a very expensive thing to put on the song contest, and they've just had a war. There may be some Ukrainians who feel, well, actually, there's more that needs that money needs to be spent on, to be honest.
Yeah, like rocket launchers, etc. Yeah, anyway, lots to talk about.
What? As you can I was thinking of rebuilding the city.
Oh yeah, well, we gotta
rebuilding, not rocket launchers, Martin.
Oh, I think I'd buy a rocket launcher. Right,
okay.
Enough of that.
It just comes out with rubbish sometimes, and I have to get in there quick and just like make it obvious that I think he's talking rubbish. Otherwise it just, you know, just gets under the radar, and then just carry on. Go on, finish off the show.
Right, yes. There's so much to talk about, and we are going to be talking about it on future editions of Nullpoix. It will be lovely to hear from you. You know the ways to get in contact. We will see you again very soon on the next edition of Nullpoix.
Bye.
This is great with rocket salad, parmesan shavings, and black pepper. I don't have any of that.
Great with rocket.
That's what it says.
Throw it in the bin.